Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgive the guilt of my sin.
O Lord God, merciful Father, I, a poor, pitiful sinner, confess to you all my sins and unrighteousness. By them I have continually offended you, and fairly deserve your punishment, both now and eternally. But from my heart, I am sorry for them, and I sincerely repent of them. And I pray you, in your limitless mercy, for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful.
Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you, and in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
The head of the house of the wicked,
laying him there from thigh to neck.
You pierce with his own arrows the heads of his warriors,
who came like a whirlwind to scatter me.
I will rejoice in the Lord. Hallelujah.
I will take joy in God, my salvation. Hallelujah.
Jesus, you were made alive by the Spirit, descended into hell as victor and Lord, and exposed our enemy shattered and defeated. As you, O Savior, have turned all of Satan's accusations against us into empty noises and rescued us from everlasting fire, fill us with your Holy Spirit so that we ignore the devil's lies, despise his temptations, and live through this brief darkness as boldly and joyfully as you marched through hell. For you are one God with the Father and the Holy Spirit, now and forever. The Old Testament reading for Christ's descent into hell is from the first book of Moses called Genesis, the third chapter. The man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called the man to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" And he said,
I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. He said, Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you not to eat? The man said, The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me the fruit of the tree, and I ate. Then the Lord God said to the woman, What is this that you have done? The woman said, The serpent deceived me, and I ate. The Lord God said to the serpent, Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and above all beasts of the field. On your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. This is the word of the Lord.
Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, let Israel now say,
If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, when peoples rose up against us,
then they would have swallowed us up alive when their anger was kindled against us.
Then the flood would have swept us away. The torrent would have gone over us.
Then over us would have gone the raging waters.
Blessed be the Lord, who has not given us as prey to their teeth.
We have escaped like a bird from the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken, and we have escaped.
Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost. As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Our help is in the name of the Lord,
who made heaven and earth.
The reading from the letters is from St. Paul's letter to the church in Colossae, the second chapter, and St. Peter's first letter, the third chapter. Christ has utterly wiped out the damning evidence of broken laws and commandments which always hung over our heads, and has completely annulled it by nailing it over his own head on the cross. Then, having drawn the sting of all the powers ranged against us, he exposed them shattered, empty, defeated. Put to death by flesh, he was made alive by the Spirit, by whom he went and made proclamation to the spirits in prison. This is the word of the Lord. Gospel according to St. Luke, the 11th chapter.
Glory be to you, Lord.
Now Jesus was casting out a demon that was mute. When the demon had gone out, the mute man spoke, and the people marveled. But some of them said, He casts out demons by Beelzebul, the prince of demons. While others said to test him, kept up seeking from him a sign from heaven. But he, knowing their thoughts, said to them, Every kingdom divided against itself is laid waste, and a divided household falls. And if Satan also is divided against himself, how will his kingdom stand? For you say that I cast out demons by Beelzebul, and if I cast out demons by Beelzebul, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore, they will be your judges. But if it is by the finger of God that I cast out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. When a strong man, fully armed, guards his own palace, his goods are safe. But when one stronger than he attacks him and overcomes him, he takes away his armor in which he trusted and divides his spoil. Whoever is not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather with me scatters. When the unclean spirit has gone out of a person, it passes through waterless places, seeking rest and finding none. It says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when it comes, it finds the house swept and put in order. Then it goes and brings seven other spirits more evil than itself, and they enter and dwell there. And the last state of that person is worse than the first. As he said these things, a woman in the crowd raised her voice and said to him, Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breasts at which you nursed. But he said, Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it. This is the gospel of the Lord. Having heard the word, what do you believe?
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Oh,
Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Jesus said, if it is by the finger of God that I cast out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. When a strong man, fully armed, guards his own palace, his goods are safe. But when one stronger than he attacks him and overcomes him, he takes away his armor in which he trusted and divides his spoil. This is our text. Today we're going to begin with thinking a little bit about prayer. Now, prayer is a basic spiritual practice. I assume that every day you probably brush your teeth and wash your hands because that's good hygiene, essential everyday habit. Prayer is like that, spiritually speaking. It's good for us. It's even necessary for our life. So for your sake and for others' sake, I encourage you not to neglect the gift of prayer. Pray every day, multiple times a day. And if you don't know what to pray, you probably know the words of the Lord's Prayer, the Our Father. You can simply say that. Why do I bring this up today when we celebrate Christ's descent into hell? It's because prayer is one of the weapons that Jesus gives us to fight against the devil and all his works and all his ways. We don't have a lot of weapons to fight the devil, but prayer is one of them. As we turn from our own strength, asking for our God, our Father in heaven, and his Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit to defend and protect us. We see this maybe most of all when it comes to the Lord's Prayer. How does Jesus teach us to pray? He gives us the words, deliver us from evil. Deliver us from evil. What does that mean? I mean, really, what we're asking is for him to deliver us from the evil one, that is, from the devil. We really shouldn't think of evil as a thing in itself. Evil doesn't have its own existence. It's always parasitic on something else. Do you remember how it was in the beginning? God created the heavens and the earth and everything that was on them. He made the angels, the unseen realm, and he made plants and animals and man, which we can see. And it was all very good. But there's one thing that God didn't create, because it is not a created thing. God didn't create evil. Evil isn't like that. Which then raises the question of, where does evil come from? I'll tell you where it comes from. It starts with the rebellion against God and the rebellion against his created world and created order. Angels fell first, Satan and those who joined him. The Bible calls them demons or unclean spirits. We believe that they are real. Real powers, unseen, but real. They're a corruption of what God had made and what he made them to be. They are a perversion of God's original plan, and that's all evil is. Evil is simply rejection of the good. I mean, think about what evil cannot do. Evil cannot build anything. Evil cannot create anything. Evil cannot contribute anything. Evil cannot help anything. All it can do is take what is good, what God has made and given, and attempt to ruin it. It makes nothing better. It can only undo and unravel and ruin. So this is a good litmus test to use as you think about your own life and your life in this world. When you see something, when you encounter something, you can ask if it is the sort of thing that leads to what is good and beautiful and true. If it leads to what is good and beautiful and true, then it is not evil, it is not of the devil, but it is of God. Now I say that with a warning. because there are also many things that pretend to be good and beautiful and true. Even the devil disguises himself as an angel of light, but it's only a disguise. Underneath is rot, underneath is decay. I mean, think about some things in our world, things like adultery, or porn, or greed, or hate, and so many other things. They're all like that. Even if on the surface there may be an appeal of some sort, all you have to do is scratch it and find the rot beneath. What's the fruit from it? What do these things do? What do they bring forth? Nothing good. Scratch the surface and you'll only find death. But when I say scratch the surface, I don't mean actually scratch the surface of these things. No, stay far away from them. The scriptures tell us that. Flee from sexual immorality. Flee from idolatry. But here's the interesting one. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Satan's plan, of course, has always been to get humanity to join him. You know, as I said, the angels fell first, and Satan's plan then was to bring the rest of creation with him. Why does he want humanity to join him? It's not because he loves us. He doesn't love anything. Only God is love. The devil doesn't offer us anything or entice us with anything because he loves us. He does it because he wants us, or he wants us because he hates God and he hates everything good from God. Everything that God made and loves, he hates and he wants to ruin. And that includes us. As Satan ruined himself, so he wants to ruin every man, woman, and child forever. That's why he seduced Adam and Eve. It wasn't because he wanted to offer them something good or he wanted to improve their lives. That was a lie. He wanted to destroy them. And then Adam simply came along for the ride. You will be like God. And Adam thought, what if it's true? And why not? And what can it hurt? And so we are all conceived and born sinful and are under the power of the devil until we'll get there. O God, deliver us from evil. I want to think for a little bit longer about the characteristics of the devil and his kingdom. So just a little thought for a second. How would you describe Satan's rule? How would you describe Satan's rule? What are the characteristics that define his kingdom? Here's a little list I came up with. Anarchy, chaos, disorder, lies, darkness, deception, fear, sin, hate, despair, belittling, lawlessness, and death. And that's just for a start. I'm sure you could add lots of other things, including particular sins and temptations that we face. These are the things that mark Satan's kingdom. Now for the follow-up question. Where do you see these things at work in our world? In our nation? In your own home and life and heart? I'm not really concerned about pointing the finger at everything around us. To be sure, there's plenty of evil out there, but I'm concerned first about us. What are the things that we take in, that we embrace, the things that we watch and listen to every day? Are they marked by anarchy, chaos, disorder, lies, darkness, deception, fear, sin, hate, despair, belittling, lawlessness, and death? Because if they are, then I can tell you where they are coming from. Have we opened ourselves to the evil one and his works and his ways? Do we cheer on things that we shouldn't just because it's our side doing it? It's true, of course, that sometimes things have to be torn down before they can be rebuilt. A house that's condemned doesn't need a facelift. It needs to be taken down and rebuilt. But here's the question. When we look at our world and the things around us and the things that are happening, we should ask ourselves, what's being built? What is the good and the beautiful and the true that is coming out of this? Because if we can't find it, then we ought to question where it's coming from. And sometimes, and I mean this about us here and maybe others close to us, sometimes it seems like we get awfully excited about the tearing down as if that's everything. It's not. And then I'm concerned about how we think and speak and act in our own lives. Has evil wormed its way into us, maybe without our even realizing it? Do we even hear ourselves when we speak? Do we hear how we speak to our spouse, our children, our siblings? Do we hear how we talk about our neighbors and even our friends? Do we know what our body language, facial expressions, and demeanor is saying? And I say that as someone who's not all that bodily self-aware, so I can be accused of that as well. Deliver us from evil. The fight is fierce, the warfare is long, but God promised that He would fight for us. That He would fight for us against the devil and the unclean spirits and everything that is unholy and a lie. And right from the beginning, He made that promise. He committed Himself to the battle against evil for the long haul, to reclaim the ground from the devil, one inch at a time, one soul at a time, generation by generation. God is in it for the long game. The Lord God said to the serpent, mark these words well. He said to the serpent, I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel. God promised a he, a man, in the flesh, right in the thick of it, bruising and being bruised. And right there is the first promise of a Savior, the Savior, right there in Genesis chapter 3. A Savior from sin, a Savior from death, but today, a Savior from the devil. You know, God always had the devil in His crosshairs, right from the beginning, but especially when He sent His Son behind enemy lines. Jesus came to this fallen world. He came to this fallen world to fight for us against the devil and all his works and all his ways. He showed up and He said, you want to see a kingdom? I'll bring it. Not like the devil's fake kingdom, but the real king and the true kingdom have arrived. And that's why so much of Jesus' ministry was devoted to conflict with the devil. He was tempted in the wilderness. He, on many occasions and in many places, cast out unclean spirits and demons, even to the extent, as we heard in the reading today, that people were accusing Him of being in league with the devil. Now, I don't quite get the logic there, but I guess it made sense to them. He's casting out lots of demons. He must be on the devil's side. I don't think so. He set free those who were oppressed and afflicted. When we think about the reality of the devil and the evil that he does, I know he comes across to us as a strong man, one who is fully armed, who has a palace that cannot be taken. That's how he appears to us. We see and hear the evil and we find how it's wormed its way into our own lives and we say, that's a strong man and I've got nothing against him. But Jesus stretched out his finger. Jesus stretched out his finger and it was stronger than the devil's thighs. One stronger than the devil is here. Thank God for that. And Jesus showed his strength in this way. He did a major flex, you could say. After his death, but before he appeared alive again on earth, He descended into hell as the stronger man, and he took the fight right into Satan's territory, and he said, "Look, I've won. It's over. You're finished." Now, this is a little speculation on my part, but I imagine Jesus standing there and showing the devil his hands and his side. "I've done it. I paid for it. All those accusations you want to throw against my sheep, they're not going to land. I paid for their sins. That death that you hang over them, so frightening, I punched a hole right in its belly. They're going to walk right through. The devil has lost his power. The devil can roar and he can rage, but he cannot have Jesus or those who belong to Jesus. And Jesus went into hell to tell him, "I have won. Amen. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia."
Christ has won, and he has come for you. He has come to rescue you from the clutches and the jaws of the devil. He has come to give himself to you and to say, "You are mine and no one else can have you." Jesus does not share. He does not share those who belong to him. He will not share you with sin, and he will not share you with death, and he will not share you with the devil, because he loves you too much. You are his, dear Christian. And his victory over the devil is your victory over the devil as well. And whenever you run into a temptation or a struggle, or you see evil around or in, you can do this. You can simply turn and say, "Deliver us from evil." And your Lord hears, and he comes, and he helps. Deliver us from evil. Now, it's interesting to me in the gospel reading from Luke 11, which begins, what we read today, begins with the people accusing Jesus of being in league with the devil. The last verse we read is entirely different. A woman who cries out in the crowd as Jesus is saying these things, and she says, "Blessed is the womb that bore you, and blessed are the breasts that nursed you." And Jesus says, "Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it." What is it that makes the devil flee? What is it that the devil cannot stand? What is it that scares that strong man? It is the word of God. The word that is preached to you, the word that you hear and believe, the devil is frightened by that. Because wherever God's word is present, he sees the kingdom of God coming. And what are the marks of that kingdom? God's kingdom is not a kingdom of chaos and anarchy. It is a kingdom of order and harmony and truth and light and freedom and life and righteousness and peace and forgiveness and all that is good and right and true. And that is the kingdom that Jesus is bringing to us right now and right here. And that is the kingdom that he is building. And that's where I want to finish today. I want to wrap up again. We started with prayer and deliver us from evil. Think again about this petition of the Lord's Prayer. When we pray, "Thy kingdom come," we are asking for Jesus to rule and reign in our lives, but not only in our lives. We are asking for Jesus to bring his rule and reign to those who are not yet in his kingdom, to push back the darkness, to plant his flag, to drive the devil away. Martin Luther said this about the kingdom of God. He said, "When the kingdom of God comes eternally through revelation, he brings that kingdom until the devil's kingdom is finally destroyed, sin and death and hell consumed, that we live eternally in complete righteousness and blessedness." That's what Christ brings. And that's what he's bringing now. And that's what he will bring finally and fully when he comes again in glory on the last day. The battle may still be raging in ways, but the war is over. Christ is the victor. He lives and he reigns, and he has you forever. In Jesus' name, amen. The The peace that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.
I will offer the thanksgiving sacrifice and call on the name of the Lord.
O Lord, my strength, I love you.
You may be seated, and I wish to invite forward Mike Smith. Beloved in the Lord, our Lord Jesus Christ said to his apostles, "Whoever confesses me before men, I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven." Lift up your hearts, therefore, to the God of all grace, and joyfully give answer to what I now ask you in the name of the Lord. Do you this day, in the presence of God and of this congregation, acknowledge the gift that God gave you in your baptism? Then say, "Yes, I do."
Yes, I do.
Do you renounce the devil and all his works and all his ways? Then say, "Yes, I renounce them."
Yes, I renounce
them. Do you believe in God the Father Almighty, in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, and in the Holy Spirit? Then say, "Yes, I believe in God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit."
Yes, in God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Do you hold all the prophetic and apostolic scriptures to be the inspired word of God, and the doctrine of the Evangelical Lutheran Church drawn from them and confessed in the small catechism to be faithful and true? Then say, "I do." Do you intend to hear the word of God and receive the Lord's Supper faithfully? If so, say, "Yet I do, by the grace of God."
I do, by the grace of God.
Do you intend to continue steadfast in this confession and church and to suffer all, even death, rather than fall away from it? And say, "I do, by the grace of God."
I do, by the grace of God.
You desire to become a member of this congregation, then say, "I do."
I do.
Will you support the work our gracious Lord has given this congregation with your prayers and the gifts God has given you? Then say, "I will, with the help of God."
I will.
Mike, we rejoice with thankful hearts that you have been baptized and have received the teaching of the Lord. You have confessed the faith. You have been absolved of your sins. As you continue to hear the Lord's word and receive his blessed sacrament, he who has begun a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. Upon this, your confession, I acknowledge publicly that you are a member of the Evangelical Lutheran Church and of this congregation. Receive the Lord's Supper and participate with us in all the blessings of salvation that our Lord has given to his church. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The congregation would please stand. Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you for your great goodness in bringing Mike to the knowledge of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and enabling him both with the heart to believe and with the mouth to confess his saving name. Grant that, bringing forth the fruits of faith, he may continue steadfast and victorious to the day when all who have fought the good fight of faith shall receive the crown of righteousness. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
We welcome you into our family.
Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you.
Amen.
We continue with the prayer of the church. O Lord God, your Son Jesus Christ is the stronger man who plundered Satan's house. He cast out demons by your finger. He removed the accusations of the devil that stood against us by his death on the cross. And then he descended into hell to announce his complete victory. As the God of peace, now crush Satan under our feet. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Gracious Lord, your word is a lamp to our feet and a light in the darkness. Send your Holy Spirit so that we would keep your word by believing the truth and by showing mercy and love toward others. Lead us to confess Jesus Christ, crucified and risen, with boldness and courage in all that we say and do, that we might shine as lights in this world. Lord, in your mercy. Father, Satan fell like lightning through the ministry of those whom Jesus sent. Bless all pastors and congregations that they might live together in Christ. Be with all missionaries, especially Michael and Nancy Jane in Italy, that they would know your love and be your instruments for growing a faithful and vibrant church. Sustain, we pray, all Christians in times of persecution and distress. Bless our seminaries in Fort Wayne and St. Louis, that those preparing to be pastors might carry out Christ's ministry in the places where you send them. Hear our prayers especially for all who will soon be receiving divine calls and vicarage assignments. The harvest is plentiful and the workers are few, so send more workers, we pray. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, pour out your Holy Spirit on the hearts and minds of our youth, especially those receiving instruction for Holy Communion, Alexa, Pepper, Simeon, Caitlin, Megan, and Lana, that as they study your holy word and saving doctrine, they would be prepared to receive Jesus' true body and blood to their benefit. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, all authority in heaven and on earth belongs to your Son. Bless faithful and godly rulers, but curb those who are wicked and break their power, that all would bend their knees before Jesus. Hinder every evil plan and purpose of the devil who would undermine church, state, and home. Tenderly care for all expectant mothers and their unborn children, especially Kelly, Rachel, and Rachel. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, our spirits faint, our hearts are desolate, and we have nowhere to turn but to you. Amen. Deliver us and all who are in need from Satan, sin, death, and despair. We pray especially for Care2 in her therapy and cataract surgery, Linda's sister Karen with her kidney issues, Cheryl's mother Carol with her broken hip and hospitalization, Aino, who is declining in health and whose end is near, as well as Diane, Amara, Tom, Marilyn, Lori, Jared, Donna, Bruce, Kay, Louise, and Debbie. Grant your peace as well to the family and friends of Caroline as they mourn her death. Let your good spirit bring them out of all troubles. Finally, we thank you for hearing our prayers on behalf of Susan. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, after the resurrection, Jesus proclaimed peace to his disciples and comforted them by his real bodily presence. Make us confident in his mercy toward us and gladden our hearts as he comes to us in his body and blood to forgive, renew, and strengthen us. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, you created Adam in your image and gave him Eve as a helpmate. And after their fall into sin, you promised them a Savior who would crush the devil's might. By the goodness and loving kindness of Christ our Savior, Number us among those who are coming out of the great tribulation with the seal of the living God upon our foreheads and with our robes made white by the blood of the Lamb. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And salutary, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God. And most especially are we bound to praise you on this day for the glorious resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, the very Paschal Lamb, who was sacrificed for us and bore the sins of the world. By his dying, he has destroyed death, and by his rising again, he has restored us to everlasting life. Therefore, with Mary Magdalene, Peter, and John, and with all the witnesses of the resurrection, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, Holy, Holy.
On the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen. Oh, my soul, my God, you say,
Our psalm today is Psalm 148, starting at the first verse. Praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His majesty is above earth and heaven. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him in the hosts. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars. Praise him, your highest heavens, and you waters above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created. He established them forever and ever, and he gave decree, it shall not pass away. Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures and deep depths. Fire and hail, snow and mist, stormy wind, fulfilling his word. Mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars. Beasts and all livestock and creepy things and flying birds. Kings of the earth and all peoples, princes and all rulers of the earth. Young men and maidens together, old men and children. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His majesty is above earth and heaven. He has raised up a horn for his people. Praise all the saints, for the people of Israel who are near him. Praise the Lord. Glory be to the Father and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted, and his majesty is above the earth and heaven.
Thank you.
the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Amen. Amen.
Given us a remembrance of your passion, grant that we may so receive the sacred mystery of your body and blood, that the fruits of your redemption may continually be manifest in us. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you. His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.